Well, now, what a pleasure it is to invite and have with us on the Comeback Coach podcast, Lynn Bowman, who we've got so much to talk about. Lynn, welcome to the show.
Very happy to be with you. What fun.
Well, Lynn, you've just blown me away. We had a little bit of chat before we hit record, and you're sitting there looking absolutely stunning, and you told me that you're may I share it publicly, what you mentioned?
Absolutely. Please
74 years young.
You're 76. You're cheating me.
76. Whip me and make me bleed for that era. 76, terrific. Well, you describe yourself in your profile, and there's show notes, and so our listeners and our viewers can find Lynn's website and link and click through and find out more. But Lynn, you describe yourself in your profile, and I want to get this right. Glam grandma who knows how to get you to eat your veggies. Now, 76 years of life, and you're describing yourself as knowing how to get you help people eat their veggies. Why that, and why now?
Great question. And to me, the secret of everything is being healthy if you can. Nothing is a lot of fun if you're suffering, if you're in ill health, if you have spent all your money trying to, you know, there's so many things that take you down when your health isn't optimal. And something like, you know, in the statistics, we can argue about the exact numbers, but something like 85% of us who have a chronic disease now, and that chronic disease is preventable and reversible. So if we are going to party together in our 70s and 80s and 90s, you need, all of y'all need to start eating your veggies now if you haven't already. And it's simple. It's all about eating well and moving and having some fun and sleeping well. So I'm out here talking about all that, which you think, well, that's granny stuff, all right, isn't it? Yes, it's totally granny territory as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, Granny. Okay, so we're talking about eating healthy, and yet the title of your book almost seems like a contradiction. Brownies for Breakfast, a cookbook for diabetics and the people who love them. How can we get away with eating brownies for breakfast and still be healthy?
Come to my house or get the book and learn how to make what I make. And those brownies are made from now, you Aussies love pumpkins like we Americans do. Those brownies are made from pureed pumpkin that you get out of a can. You know, you just buy the can of pumpkin, you dump it in, and cocoa, plain chocolate, nothing, no sugar, just chocolate, powdered chocolate. So pumpkin, cocoa, and then secret ingredient, number three, nut butter. So, and it can be cashew butter. It can be peanut butter. That's not my favorite, but almond butter is one I use most. So it's the combination of pumpkin butter pumpkin puree, excuse me, and nut butter and cocoa. And then a couple of other things, not much, eggs or egg substitute. If you're vegan, you don't have to use the eggs. And you put it in a bowl and you stir it up, and it makes the most delicious, gooey, deeply chocolate brownie you've ever eaten. But the secret is, don't tell anybody, it doesn't have any sugar in it. It's made with monk fruit. And there are some other sweeteners that I talk about in my book. People have an idea about sugar substitutes, that they're icky and that they don't really taste that good and so on. But if you're going to be healthy, you have to stop eating sugar. And that's granny here just telling you like it is. Sorry, no more sugar if you really want to be healthy. But you can have brownies. There are recipes in the book for donuts and cakes and pies, as well as savory foods. But the secret is knowing the good sugar substitutes and then the things that you use instead of flour and oil and butter, there's hardly any in my stuff. And you can imagine that in this brownie made with nut butter, it's full of protein. So it's a meal. It's got vegetables, protein, some carbs, some good fats. It's a meal, and it's a brownie. So
absolutely sold. I'll take a dozen.
Put it on my table and eat. Come on over.
When I'm there, I expect a plate full of them. Lynn, you are a picture. Okay, I'm going to get serious now because this is the Comeback Coach podcast. Not that we weren't serious about eating sugar-free brownies for breakfast, but just on the concept of making a comeback from setbacks, adversity, suffering, troubling times, tough times. There's a lot of people right now, as you know, as I know, and as most of us know, that life right now is not a bowl of cherries for a lot of people. And in fact, I see in your in your bio, Lynn, that you've had your own experiences of tough times, including homelessness. Am I right?
Oh, you're absolutely right. Yes. And I mean, mistakes. Mine were buttes. I made a lot of them, as many of us do. But you know what, Mike? I'm a believer in the end in failure as being the great teacher, the great motivator. And I've had a few. You know from my bio that I was a weather person at one point. Mm. And I am proud to say that I believe I was the worst weather person ever in broadcasting in the history of the world. That's me.
Righto.
That's the silver lining there. Yes, I got fired. Yes, I was awful, but I was really awful. I wasn't just mediocre awful. I was terrible. But I wound up, as many women do, particularly, with three little kids, a crazy husband. He was a veteran of Vietnam. And like many of those fellas, he came home, changed his clothes on the plane, and tried to be a normal person. And when I met him, he was a banker, three-piece suit, you know, slick, good-looking, tall, slick-talking fella. But we married. We had three little ones in quick succession. I was thrilled. I didn't know that I would be able to have kids. And here they were, and it was wonderful. And he very quickly unraveled. I mean, just literally unraveled. If any of you have dealt with the mental health struggles of loved one, you know that it can surprise you completely. And I realized that I could not stay with him, or I would die and my children would die. It was very clear that we were in danger. So I had to leave, and I had to leave fast. And I left on a train with my three little ones. They were 2, 3, and 4. And with what we could carry, we came across the United States from the East Coast to my sister's on the West Coast. And I lived in a camping trailer in her driveway for as long as it took for me to lie my way into new employment, which I'm also proud to say, you know, there are times when people do not need to hear the whole truth about stuff.
Yeah.
And what I did, so this was 1980, Mike. I came to the Silicon Valley, which it wasn't the Silicon Valley then. It was just San Jose, California, Sunnyvale, California. And my sister was an engineer, her husband was an engineer. And they had a little solar energy company. And so under the ruse of finding an advertising agency for her little company, I went around and knocked on doors and talked to the ad agencies that I had seen advertising themselves. And, you know, under the pretense of looking for an agency for this little business, I would interview them, and invariably they'd say, well, so where are you from? And what are, you know, how, oh yes, I just came here from North Carolina. Well, are you a writer? Yes, I'm a copywriter. Oh, you are? Would you even consider doing some freelance work? And of course, inside I'm like, yes, yes, you know, please now. And so very quickly I had clients, and because I had a good, you know, history of working and a good, what we called in those days, a book of stuff that I had done. So one of the few things that I brought with me from North Carolina was my book that was my resume, essentially. And a couple of outfits that I could get away with, you know, presenting myself in business. And pretty soon, because of the time, I lucked out. Pretty soon, I was hired as a freelancer for a number of these places. And another lucky, lucky thing, I was female, but they were so desperate to get this work done that they hired women to do it. Mm. And it was hilarious, actually, because it was a time when one of the things, for example, I needed to write about all the time was executives, men, wouldn't put their hands on the keyboard of these fabulous new machines that we were building, these microcomputers. So this was Apple, of course, and other companies like Apple. And so they had to have people like me write this stuff that said to men, no, you, this is the new masculinity, right? This is the new smart thing to do. And of course, you would have to, you know, have these guys, no, it's okay. Put your hands on the keyboard. Because until then, a keyboard was women's work.
Yeah.
You were a secretary or an assistant or whatever. And so these men were just flummoxed that they would have to put their own. But then, of course, once they did, and once they saw what that opened up for them, they were convinced. So it was an exciting, interesting time to be in advertising and marketing. Better yet, I made good money. So I came out of the dirt and, out of the camping trailer in my sister's driveway and lucked into a little rental and pretty soon was okay. Of course, it was a long time where my ex was stalking me and having me followed and all this sort of thing. And that's for another show when you want all those grisly details. But I knew if I could earn enough money and keep enough separation, I thought my kids and I would be okay. And they are now in their late 40s and I have two grandchildren and we're fine. We're good. My ex-husband, like, and this is a thing that you also may know, more of those folks who fought in the Vietnam situation, who fought in Vietnam, more killed themselves than were killed in battle. And that is still going on. And, and we're seeing this continue in the way we do world affairs, unfortunately. I hope not as tragically. I hope we learn from that. But yeah, so he left this plane in 93, I think. And we've had peace in our family since then.
Wow. When you say, and may I ask, when you say left this plane, did he take his own life?
Yes, he did. Yeah.
Okay.
And Mike, it sounds odd to be really at peace with that, but my goal, I pretty much knew that's how it would end. But I so hoped, deeply hoped, that it wouldn't be my children who found him or who suffered with him.
Right.
That happened. And the way it happened, it was okay. And it was actually my new husband, still my husband of 33 years, who ended up sort of cleaning up things in the aftermath of his life for him. And I found the way these things happen in one of his boxes. I opened it up and there was a note from him to me. So how did he know I would open, life is so strange.
Isn't it? Isn't it? It's a mystery. Well, thank you, Lynn, for being so candid and open and transparent with those facets of your past. And it's never pleasant when anybody, regardless of the circumstances that they are in, or may I say, the grief, the pain, the suffering that they may also be causing others. And I heard what you said of your situation that you were in and your children at the time. It is so sad. Well, I'm a survivor of attempted suicide. And so I'm so happy and grateful to be here. So I can certainly relate to all round that whole thing. And I'm sorry that for your ex-husband that was the way that he found his own peace. However, let's move on. It's very important, but let's move on, Lynn, because there's more things to talk about, and including the backdrop. Now, you've got to tell me, is that a green screen backdrop or is that really your own room you're sitting in there?
This is my place, Mike.
Well, I tell you why I ask.
Okay.
It looks very beautiful. It looks very serene.
Thank
you. But I see there what looks like a pipe organ.
Yeah.
Come on. What's the story?
Well, it's one of those things. We almost had to build the room for it because it's very tall.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? And it belonged to my husband's aunt who lived in Nevada City, California. And I think it's probably turn of the century, but there was a time when most of the homes that you would go into would have a version of that.
Yeah.
I think it's actually called a harmonium. So it's a pedal thing, and it has lovely sound. It gets played every once in a while, not by me, but I have a son-in-law who's a musician. And we inherited it from my husband's parents, and I treasure it. I mean, to me, it's just a work of art, and I was glad that we had room to house it. I love having it in our life. And this room that we're in is actually technically a garage, according to the county that we're in. we had to rip off it. My home is old. It's a 140-year-old farmhouse, which, you know, Australia, you get this. In California, that's really old. Whereas on the East Coast, it wouldn't be so old, but it's an old farmhouse by California standards and money pit. You know, it's taken a lot of fixing and then there's earthquake stuff that happens and so on. But I love all the crooked spaces and the little gaps between things and the patina that comes with.
Oh, absolutely. The character, if you like. And, you know, I had to, thanks for explaining what did you call it, a graniola?
Harmonium.
That's the one where you put the paper in and you push the pedals and the paper spins, no?
No, it's just, I think it has to do with pushing the air through the pipes with pedals, but that is not my expertise.
No, well, there's some energy coming from that, and I had to, it was kind of like, without sounding too woo-woo and way out there and wacky, it kind of spoke to me, and I had to bring it up, and now that I know, it feels better, and so do I.
It's my husband's auntie speaking to you, I think.
Oh, there you go. Welcome. Yeah. All right, Lynn, so you've got a very eclectic background, professional background, career background, areas of expertise, and you mentioned, and I have to bring this up, you mentioned that word copywriter. Now, it happens to be that we have a good number of subscribers who are copywriters, as was I. I'm now retired from copywriting, but so I hooked onto that. Did you specialize direct response, or what form of copy were you writing mostly?
Well, back in the day, everything was, I mean, we did TV. I did a lot of TV and print, but my specialty, Mike, was translating technology to consumers, because so much of what we were doing here was technology that people didn't know what it meant or really what it did or why it would benefit them. And so I had this combination of consumer goods background and industrial marketing that I liked. You know, I found it exciting and interesting. My dad was an industrial marketer. And so I had grown up hearing around the table, which is a thing that I talk about all the time with young families, sit down at the table. Don't eat in the car. You know, don't eat on the run. Sit down at a table and eat with your kids and talk to them. So many young families are just crazy on the run and they don't have these mealtimes anymore. And I've had all of my kids at some time or another say to me, you know, eating dinner at home was like a graduate course in marketing. We didn't appreciate it at the time, but of course that's what I did. And my friends were eating with us and that's what they did. And so we talked about it. That's what my kids heard. And my office was at home from 1987 on. I had my own company, a creative services company. And so my kids knew, and I did that partially because I wanted to be there when my kids got home from school at the house, but they had to learn as a consequence. There'd be barking and yelling and all this stuff going on, and the phone would ring and all of a sudden silence. And one of them would reach for the phone and go, Lynn Bowman, creative services, you know, in their best professional voice. I think, yes. So they learned those office skills out of desperation because we had to. That's how we had to run our family, you know. I worked at home and they were fine with it. You know, they weren't deprived of anything, or in fact, I think they were enriched. Didn't maybe think so at the time, but they were enriched by watching me make a living. What's wrong with that?
Nothing at all. And it's so interesting to hear that part of the story of your former career in copywriting and also advertising, and you had your own company, as you spoke about. And well, let's do full circle, because time always flies when you're having fun, Lynn, and we're nearing the end of this conversation, but we want to go full circle. So we're talking, we've been talking with Lynn Bowman, lynnbowman.com, but that link will be in the show notes for the YouTube viewers and the audience listening on the podcast, audio podcast channels. Glam Grandma. Well, if you're listening to this on audio, you want to head over to my YouTube channel and have a look at the video, because you wouldn't guess that this woman is 76 years young and she looks absolutely gorgeous. Glam Grandma, who knows how to get you to eat your veggies. That can't be a bad thing either. Her book is Brownies for Breakfast, a cookbook for diabetics and the people who love them. Lynn, do you have a parting look? You don't get to 76 without the bumps and bruises and the falls, and you've shared some of those with us, including the living in what we call in Australia a caravan, in the yard of a relative, the separation and ultimate divorce, I think you mentioned, from your husband, who met his own demise by his own hand after post-traumatic stress disorder after Vietnam. I suppose that would have been the yep. the name given to it in medical terms. You've lived your life up until now. You've got plenty more life ahead with plenty more things to do. And do you have a parting thought? Do you have a favourite quote, a favourite book that you want to mention to our listeners and our audience?
My cookbook.
Yeah, wonderful. What perfect answer to the question, Brownies for Breakfast. You'll find a link there at lynnbowman.com. The link is in the show notes. Lynn, I want to thank you for joining us and for being so open about your life up until now, for sharing your pretty face with us, and for telling us a little bit about that grand piano of sorts. I'm going to call it a piano because I can't remember the name you gave it, in the back. It's happy. I'm happy. You're happy. Let's hope we're all happy. And until next time, this is Mike Searle signing off from the Comeback Coach podcast.